Linda Lynn, excuse me.
Thank you.
Melinda France.
Here.
Brenna Whitaker. Brenna Whitaker is in the building.
She's here.
She's here.
She's here. Okay.
She's keeping her distance.
Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is the public comment, but no one, we don't have anyone here for a public comment.
Should I make Manna Jones public comments?
Sure.
She just called me, that's where I left. We had planned for 3 household hazardous waste collections, and then she heard last night, I guess, that maybe we weren't going to do 3. And she suggested, since people are home cleaning their houses, perhaps, maybe we could still have 3, but space them out like September, October, November, or something like that. So I don't know. Just stuff for comments, whatever you guys figure out. And she also mentioned about our zero waste plan and our zero waste presentation, that we have to somehow get ourselves organized to work on that, because we kind of put that on hold while we've been COVIDing at home. So those are from Manna Jo Green.
What was the first item there? She's talking about the cleanup in July.
Is that when our next household hazardous waste?
For the paints and all that stuff? Yeah.
We missed one.
It's in the middle of July, but I spoke to Mr. Petronelli from DEC this morning, mm-hmm. and they're still locked up tight. I think we should cancel July and have it in the fall. By that time, everything will be open. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But, I mean, you're going to go out to DEC. You don't know whether they're going to open, if it's going to be open or not. Are they going to open the building? Because we have to have it open for the bathrooms. And with the game plan that they have, I just think it's too soon to do it in July.
Right.
That we should wait and have a really big one in October. And by that time, we should be able to do it well. And we can do it. We do it right here.
Okay.
Or if we want to look for another location down south, that's something we could look into.
Maybe do one in Kingston.
There's a lot of opportunities. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could do one in Kingston over at the side of their transfer station. There's a lot of space up there, and I think they still have that big empty building. Right, Mayor?
Not empty, but yet.
Oh.
Well, we're well organized to do it right here because
Do you think it would be a good idea to send that thought you just had in an email to Manna Jo Green so she knows what we're thinking?
I'd be more than happy to. Okay.
Good idea. Yeah.
All right.
Does that work with the staff to do it that way?
Depending on the location, there's a lot of parameters that need to be discussed. So if you're going to change locations, then we got to check with the environmental company, because you understand that we book these things a year and ahead. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to start putting back-to-back ones, like one weekend after another, we might not even get the environmental company because they're already booked with other places. So, we've got to look at drains. We've got to look at, doing the
approvals outside. Approval from the DEC,
health department, and they're all... You have to have a site plan drawn up, so there's a lot involved with this. It's not just a matter of just moving things around. So, and you got to get all these approvals in place. So, I'm just giving you guys a heads up. I'm not saying you can't do it, but it's the first step is to call the environmental company. See if they might not even be available, because we normally do it the third week of September, and mm-hmm. they weren't even available. Or September, third week of the month, and they weren't even available on a couple of those dates. We had to shift things around, and I'm talking a year, months in advance.
But we have more already lined up for the October one.
Yes.
So we could do, that's planned. That's right on the blueprint.
So that's going to be here?
So that's going to be here.
April and October are always here, and the July one, for 6 or 7 years now, have always been in at the DEC.
Well, I just think it was very difficult because their plan was the people had to stay in their cars, and the guys from Clean Harbor were going to come and take the items out of the car and so forth. And you know people are going to get out of their car. So you're going to be yelling at people to get back in their car and so forth. So
we stayed in our car.
Pardon me?
We stayed in our car. We were very good.
I just think, you know, with the situation right now, I think we should cancel July and just, you know, have the big event here in October. And if you want to have an extra one, contact Clean Harbor and see if they have time available. But
we also, for the October one, should tell them that it's probably going to be a really big one.
Yeah.
Because I know that people are putting aside stuff.
And we're right here, and we have the manpower. We can handle
staff.
It.
We have the staff.
We can handle it.
And 6 months later, it'll be April, so you'll have a second one. Even if, at the worst case, so if you had a big one in October and April, 6 months later, you're going to have another one.
Okay. Thank you, Charlie.
Okay. All right, so what's your pleasure? Should we cancel?
Well, canceling wouldn't take any more rescheduling.
No.
I think cancel would be easy.
No,
just
think we
move it
up
to
July,
the October one. Yeah.
What's the pleasure of the board? Cancel in July, and we'll look forward to doing a big one in October.
I think that's a good idea. You want that in the form of a motion? Yeah, absolutely.
No, I don't think we need a motion for that.
Okay. Well, I think that COVID is actually the motivating factor not to have one in July.
Right.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay, well, I'll get the notifications out then, because I have to formally notify in writing.
And I'll contact Manager Joe and explain why we're going to do it.
Okay.
Okay. During this pandemic and so forth, I just wanted to say thank you to all the employees here at the RRA, especially the guys out in the yard. They've been working right through it, and we've been very lucky. We didn't have anyone that came down with COVID-19. And we had a couple people that were ill for a couple days, but it was just minor things and nothing major. So we've been very lucky. The Director of Operations, Charlie Whitaker, got all the face masks and everybody keeps them on the track and so forth. And all the people that work here in the building went home. So the Executive Director closed down the building and it's worked out very well. So
not everybody. We operate at 50% staff. We alternate.
Yeah, I'm sorry, what?
We operate at 50% staff and we alternate days. So I didn't send everybody home.
Angie just said this is the first time she's been here since.
Just Angie. But Brenda comes in one day, and Lisa, and the next day Amy comes in, and Melinda comes in. So we're operating at 50% staff, which is what I'm following the guidelines to do for office staff. You're supposed to operate at 50% staffing, which is exactly what I did.
Oh. But not in the beginning. Because when we called in, you had to get 107 or 108.
The first couple weeks when this whole thing broke loose.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Not the only one that did that either. A lot of places that shut down.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just want to say thank you to all the employees for doing a great job for us. All right, next item on we have the Mayor Noble from the City of Kingston wants to address the board. So, Mayor, you're up.
Well, thank you very much, everyone, for giving me the opportunity. You know, I'm here today to talk about a resolution that you passed, I believe, at the, I don't know if it was your last board meeting or board meeting and a half ago or so, you know, related to what I think the agency considers hard mix. This is residential paper recycling that has cardboard mixed in. And as it's been indicated to me via your resolution, that hard mix is starting, I guess, effective, it was supposed to be yesterday, you know, we were told that hard mix is now going to have a charge and that we would have to pay an additional fee for both, you know, having you load that material, but then also a per ton fee for that. And, you know, as I said in my public statements that I think Tim shared with all of you, you know, the City of Kingston is completely opposed to that effort. You know, we believe that, one, you know, we should have been notified, we should have been consulted, you know, we feel really strongly that you did not follow, you know, the regulations of Local Law Number 4 which states that as the agency promulgates rules and regulations, that there is supposed to be a public process related to that and a public hearing, letting the interested parties that are going to be affected by those rules have an opportunity to speak about those, which in my case is not only me, but it's the 24,000 residents of the city of Kingston who currently, for the last decade plus, have recycled their newspaper with their junk mail, with their cereal boxes, as well as the box from Amazon that they got shipped to their house. All of that has traditionally gone in the same bin, was approved by UCRA to allow the city of Kingston to do that. And, you know, that is, per this policy that you just passed, ended as of yesterday. And that is a major policy change and a major policy shift, and one that, as you all know, we are your last and only, you know, residential customer that picks up and brings to you you know, recycling. And I think that, you know, for your major, you know, folks who do that to not have some willingness to work within our recycling paradigm makes me feel, as the mayor of the city, that you guys just don't want to work with the city of Kingston and our residents. Not only did we move to single stream when the agency said that we should, because all of the other haulers were, we then moved back to dual stream because the agency said we should. And now the agency is saying basically that we need to go to tri-stream and that we should be separating our cardboard from our newspaper and mixed paper. And I cannot justify giving another bin to my residents in the city of Kingston to be able to put their cardboard in. We already separate all of our commercial cardboard and we bring you 6 tons a week of commercial high-grade cardboard that you then pay or you then bundle and sell on the marketplace at a profit, and we've never seen any revenue from that ever as the city of Kingston. We have just given that to the agency and have asked nothing in return. And I just feel like with all of that, to be able to then have this policy thrust on us is just inappropriate, and I'm asking you to reconsider and to withdraw that resolution. And I strongly encourage you that, you know, if you want to continue to run a recycling operation and continue to have that be a part of your mission, that you need to then invest in the equipment to be able to at least sort cardboard out of newspaper. And whether that equipment is people, because clearly we know lots of people are out of work, and you can have people employed to be able to separate cardboard from the rest of the newspaper. Or it's equipment that, you know, is easily and readily available. And I feel as though that if recycling is really a part of the mission of the RRA, then we should really consider including the cost of recycling into the entire county's tipping fees. And so if there should be if it's $105 a ton, well, what is it if we actually include the cost to actually recycle? And what is that cost added in to be able to run an appropriate plant? And then that should be the tipping fee that everyone pays in the county. And if a private hauler chooses not to bring the recycling here, well, then that's too bad for them. But you're giving them that opportunity because you're including it as part of your, you know, your fee to them. And I feel like, again, we are the last holdout who have not privatized and who have not shipped our recycling waste, you know, to some other hauler to process. And I feel like we are being continually slapped on the wrist for that. And I feel like that's not how we should, as the largest municipality that you're supposed to serve, be treated. So that's my basic comment today, and I appreciate everyone giving me the opportunity, and I really do strongly urge you to reconsider that resolution.
Thank you. Thank you. I just would make one comment in your public comment about our slush fund, and you know, you were chairman of this board, you know that the board doesn't have a slush fund. So I really think that your comment in that you gave was really inappropriate, Mayor.
And I could just clarify, I mean, I think maybe slush isn't the right word, but, you know, I know I was recently with, you know, Tim at a meeting of the Recycling Oversight Committee or some meeting where it was actually discussed that the agency has been putting away extra funds in case of a time when tipping fees could go up. For instance, if you didn't get a good contract with Seneca Meadows, there has actually been money set aside since flow control started to be able to build, maybe slush fund isn't the right word, but there is actually a large amount of money that has been set aside as a cost avoidance or as a kind of a fund balance to be used.
Do you have a fund balance, Steve?
And so we do, but this was specifically designed.
Do you have a fund balance at City Kingston?
Yeah, we do.
All right, it's the same idea.
But this was a new balance that you created per Tim, and that's what he said. So I'm sorry if I used the word slush. But
I'm highly offended by those comments.
But there is a fund that was created to put extra money in case that happened. And so
there wasn't a separate fund. It's just in our reserves. And I said we were putting away money in our reserves because if the contracts, like we expected, would go very, very high, we didn't want to hit the whole public with a huge tipping fee. So we would operate at a loss and slowly bring those tipping fees up. That was the theory. And that's a theory with the board for years. That's what we decided.
And the good thing is that tipping fees haven't gone up. And the fact that when I was on the board, we're pretty much paying Seneca Medicals the same that we paid then as we are now. And that's amazing to be able to go almost 10 years and to still be paying almost the same amount. But yet our tipping fees, at least for the city of Kingston, went from $73 a ton to now we're at $105 over that same 10-year period, but yet your cost has stayed the same. And so that's where a lot of that money then got put into this reserve. And I think that you know, reserve funds should be used to then invest in our recycling equipment so that you don't have to ask the city of Kingston to now separate out our cardboard, which, as you can imagine, for my residential customers, especially now, the amount of online shopping that people have done over the last 5 years, plus in the last 2 months, has been amazing. And the amount of cardboard that is in that mix, I mean, my staff have been out here over the last month watching our residential drops, as has yours, and the amount of cardboard is a large
amount. Steve, it's 53% cardboard, and you're only you. So it's 53, and it's not just residential cardboard. There's a lot of commercial cardboard still in those loads.
But there's not.
No, there is. We have pictures of it. There is a lot of, and your drivers have said that, you know, they're picking up delis and liquor stores
but
and stuff
not.
Like that.
They're not. Okay.
So, and listen, and the agency did work with you since May 30th of 2018, extension upon extension upon extension.
That's the one thing that I'm upset about. You said we didn't contact you. We had meetings. We had Ed on the phone. We were here talking to people since last year. I sent you a letter on July 15th, Mayor.
Yeah, about commercial cardboard being separated out of our recycling, which we did. We went and we followed every single truck. And I can guarantee you today, if you follow every single one of our trash trucks or recycling trucks, you will not see them pick up a commercial client. So over 4 months ago, we started that effort when we got your letter stating that you didn't want us to have commercial cardboard in the residential runs anymore. And so we did a major effort and a major overhaul, hence the reason why you're getting 6 tons a week just of commercial-grade cardboard.
But we're still getting 50 more tons of cardboard in your mixed news, which is listen, it's grade dependent on the markets. We don't make the rules. The markets do. Your mixed news and cardboard is worthless. We paid $17,000 in January just to get rid of yours at no cost to the city of Kingston.
But
before Single Stream, you were the educator, Steve. Before Single Stream, what did you guys do? You separated cardboard then. And everybody else does, too. There's 18 other towns besides the city that separate cardboard. So what did you guys do before then? And everybody else separates glass also. And the city of Kingston doesn't have the burden of separating glass. So the agency has done a lot as far as putting money into the MRF. What, $400,000 last year, Tim?
Yes.
$400,000 last year. We just spent another $500,000 on compost. We have a brand new composter machine for bagging that we haven't been able to use. It's out of warranty. We didn't even train our employees. We haven't been able to use because our MRF was built for cardboard, newspaper, co-mingle, and baling machines. That's it. So when you talk about putting it in there and more employees, it's not big enough. Westchester County redid their MRF. They stayed dual stream. They didn't go to single stream. And they separate cardboard and newspaper. That's just what you do. So
and they spent $7 million doing it.
And so in order for us to market it, Steve, we're not in control. The markets are. It's all grade dependent, Steve. So when we get rid of our newspaper, our mixed news, postal mix is the best, right? And then they go down to, and then if you can't do a postal mix, they go down to a 7 and 8. If you can't do a 7 and 8, then it goes down to a 56. Our people buy it. They head down to Newark, the Chinese inspectors come out, inspect it, and then they go down to the pier. They got $65 invested into it without making any money at all. They tried for the postal, they tried for the 7/8, and then they tried for the 56. So while you're here saying we don't do all these things, it's not about us, it's about the markets. If City of Kingston really wants to recycle, they'll do it right so we can market it. So it is being recycled. I mean, that's the bottom line.
But we can't do it right for our customers unless we build a MRF and we sort the recycling materials. If you show me one community in New York State that has cans, another bin for bottles, another bin for newspaper, and another bin for cardboard that has residential pickup, I will shut up. But that does not exist. There's not one community
it exists,
that does.
Steve, you pushed for the single stream back in 2010.
Yeah.
Okay, so it did exist before.
But it didn't.
Okay, you separate your cardboard.
It doesn't.
I can go back and show you.
It doesn't right now.
I can show you 100 tons of cardboard and 100 tons of newspaper from the city of Kingston. All the way before you went to single stream.
So in
every month.
1980s, when recycling first started here in Ulster County,
it started in
you
91.
Guys separated a whole bunch of different materials.
91.
I understand that.
That was 91.
We are now in 2020. And so we are the last residential pickup customer that brings
the markets don't care about
here.
That, Steve. We
but
can't
everyone,
market it.
But I know, but how is single, how is, you know, I know that the markets don't
you got
care
a mix,
about that.
You got a single stream paper is what you got. That's what, you know, take out the commingle. You got everything from junk mails to cereal boxes to corrugated cardboard to magazines to books. You got a single stream, and that's not what the markets want.
But why didn't you guys, when we switched over to
we told you that it had in order to get the zero tipping fee at our MRF, you're supposed to have the cardboard separated from the newspaper. You are still getting the benefits of having that, and you're not doing it.
But in April, when we switched to single stream recycling, with consultation with your agency, at no point do our in our entire conversation between us switching from single stream to dual stream. And us going through this whole process of buying bins, providing new education, sending out mailings, not one single person from the agency said, oh, you know what, this isn't right. You guys can't say on here that you can't put cardboard in
these bins. I did
from
day one. I did from day one, Steve. From day one.
But you guys have to recognize that message, you're putting all of the onus on low income, at risk,
Steve,
community members to be able to understand.
Steve, our recycling law says cardboard has to be free of all other fibers. That's what the recycling law says. And so does newspaper. It's in our law.
It's not, you have a mixed, in
it's local, in our law. Read the law.
Local law number 10 has mixed paper.
It's got mixed paper, but it says cardboard, corrugated cardboard, but it gives the definition, says has to be free of all other fiber.
And how you collect it is based on the rules.
That's where it has to start. Curbside and businesses on collecting it and collecting it and recycling it right. That's where it has to start, right there.
So,
listen, we're providing you with a zero tipping fee for a separation of cardboard and mixed news, and you're not doing it. Everybody else is, you're not doing it.
You don't collect anyone else. There is no one else. No one else brings
Steve,
you.
Steve, if there's a lot of people that need work and it's so easy and inexpensive to convert something, then let the city of Kingston do it. And separate your own cardboard and newspaper. Well, all we're trying to do is just recoup the cost it's going to do us because the markets, it's market driven, Steve. Sorry, Joanna.
Okay, let you in.
We do need the space.
Yeah, I'm just trying. We have a problem. What is the best way that we can come to a solution that is a win-win for all? I'm a resident. Could I bundle my cardboard? I used to do that.
And where would you put it?
I would put it next to
Toter.
To my tote.
When it rains, what happens?
Well, that would be an issue.
And which truck would pick it up?
So on Tuesday is when
Fridays. Fridays, your packers don't work. Steve.
Well, Tuesdays
they make
is
yard waste, but yeah.
Okay. Tuesdays are when the business corridor gets picked up.
Yep.
Right. Could there be? I'm spitballing, but you can't tell when I'm spitting. Sorry. could the public on each block have a place to put? I mean, to put cardboard so that there's one, you know, on that Tuesday. A truck just goes through and picks up on the main corridors. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or could one week
do alternate weeks.
And the next
or alternate weeks.
Be one week do cardboard and the next week do the newsprint. Cardboard, newsprint. I mean, I ride around uptown Kingston the stores up there with the cardboard, from what I see, they're baled and everything. They did a nice job putting it out. Mm-hmm. The problem is when, from what I see, is when they pick it up. Yeah. Now, somehow it's getting all mixed together. If they would pick all that stacked cardboard from the stores and that up there.
They do.
You what?
Yeah. We have a separate truck on Tuesdays, and then we run another separate truck on Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays, because not all of our businesses are on our Tuesday run. And so we bring all of that to you separately already, and you guys get paid $50 a ton or whatever the going rate is for our clean cardboard. We don't see any of that revenue. We just give that to you, and that, you know, you've always gotten that clean. It hasn't been as clean as you know, you would have liked sometimes, but that has been, you know, we do that already.
Okay, so could residents, I mean, I actually am a proponent of making the residents see their garbage and see where their garbage goes and do source separation. So I would say that, you know, is there a way that we could, maybe it's all alternate pickup, so that right now we have alternate for, I think, you know, paper and plastics go,
yep,
right? Could we once a month just do all cardboard and once a month just do all paper?
There's too much. And I think that, as, you know, Charlie said, you know, 53% of our, you know, supposedly our residential cardboard is, there's just, you produce a lot of cardboard, I produce a lot of cardboard, like there's a lot of cardboard. And most of, you know, again, especially in the last couple of months, a lot of cardboard is coming to people's homes and then going back out again. And as our economy has also picked up, there's definitely been more purchasing and people are spending more money. I think the biggest concern that I think we have is that, you know, there are, we believe, as we've talked about with recycling in general, it is often easier to, and in the long run cheaper for everyone, to recycle at the deep when it gets dropped off and sort it than it is to try to get residents to sort it.
No, that's not true, Steve. That's not true.
Show me a community that has been able to be successful.
Steve, to successfully recycle, it has to start at the business and the home, and then it has to be collected right. Everybody does that. So, Joanne, can I just read something from our buyer?
Okay.
We did a waste audit on your stuff, which we failed and we sent down there. And this is what our buyer said, one of a couple of buyers that we have. It says, we recently performed a waste characterization audit on your hard mix. This material has a low value if it is not sent up the line to physically remove the high levels of outthrows. That's paper no longer accepted at that particular grade. At least 20% outthrows. In addition, we cannot find a market for hard mix due to the fact that many export buyers will not accept that material. It is considered a low-end mixed paper with little or no value. India and China have banned all grades of mixed paper. The rest who still have dual-stream collections are thrown into that category. And the very last part of it says, in addition, the soft mix, that's what we have, that's what we're encouraging you, the soft mix we buy from you is much easier to clean since it has less than 10% cardboard in it. So it is a fast process to make a 7-8 grade or an industrial postal mix. These are always in demand, and that is much easier to sell. Soft mix also are able to get more density. This helps with the cost of transportation from your site. An example of hard mix must be baled to achieve a payload of 21 tons, where soft mix has a density that we can pick up 30 tons in a payload in an open walk-in floor trailer, and there's no baling from the, and there's no breaking the bands when we send it down there too. So from there to here, back to there, to Newark, to the pier is $65. Nobody's making any money. So that's from our buyer. There's no value, little or no value to the hard mix. So here, let me ask you a question, right? Do we want to recycle or don't we? Because it's all market-based. It's all grade-dependent. So that's the question for you. Do you want to recycle? If we didn't charge you right now and we were picking it up and the stuff was getting thrown away, we wouldn't hear a peep. But the fact of the matter is because there's a charge, because all we're trying to do is recoup whatever it's costing us, like January, $17,000, we still don't have a place to bag our compost. We have a brand new compost machine. We've done a lot for the city of Kingston. We gave you extensions from May 30th, 2018, all the way up to when you did. And when did you start separating those 6 tons of cardboard? A month ago?
When we got the letter.
Yeah, a month ago.
Again,
One of the things.
So, but you said the agency has not cooperated with you. You said the agency has a slush fund. You said that we haven't invested in recycling. These are all untruths, Steve.
But they're not. So let me just, you know, I am the only one sitting here. I'm alone. Do you see that? Do you know why I'm alone? Because this agency has made a concerted effort not to keep up with the regular mechanisms of recycling industry. County waste, waste management, Royal. Every other person that lives outside the city of Kingston that has curbside pickup has someone else other than the RRA serve them. Every single one has bailed on your recycling attempts. So they have looked at your MRF, they have looked at your facility, and they have said they are not up to steam. They are not able to meet the demands of our customers. They are not able to provide what our customers need, and they are not able to be able to meet what is required in the 21st century. And so they have all brought their material somewhere else.
Yeah, so
I am the last holdout that has tried to work with the agency, and we have done everything that you have asked. And then we get this. When we've spent $400,000+ to switch to dual stream after the agency said we could go to single stream, and now after the agency spent a decade saying that we could do hard mix for our residential customers, you're now saying because the market's bad, you didn't mind when the market was okay, but now that the market's bad, you're basically saying now the city of Kingston, you're on your own, and we're not going to help you anymore.
Well,
and I think that...
Now, the markets have always been up and down. There have been times where we charge for newspaper and commingle here, Steve, so that's not true. Let me say this to you right now. You brought up waste management and county waste, okay? County waste is charging $100 to $123 a ton for mixed newspaper, cardboard, and commingle. Right now, as we speak...
But the customers are only paying
waste management. You brought up waste management, right? Yeah. Waste management are smart people, right? Number one on the list since I've been here, right? They're sending their stuff down to a competitor and paying over... anywhere from $80 to $120 a ton. So they're not sending it up to their sorting place, you know, up in where is it, Tim?
Port of Albany?
No, up...
Beacon.
No, up towards Syracuse.
Liverpool.
Liverpool. They're not sending it there, Steve. All these things that you're saying is not true.
But
we spent $400,000. There are municipalities out there that are spending, that own MRFs, that are spending $1 million to subsidize their MRFs. Subsidized. We spent $400,000 last year, Steve. The markets have never been great. They're always up and down. That's why nobody's building more MRFs. That's why everybody's getting out of the recycling business. That's why there are states out there, Steve, that are now sending it to the landfill. New York never would, and they shouldn't. But, Steve, what you're saying is not true. The best way to collect recycling is when you do it at your home or your business. So that's not true, Steve. And that's a known fact.
I would like to just say, Steve, that... one of the big issues, it was in my letter July 15th, and it was in when we had Ed Norman on the phone a couple times. We need the space for our composting. That's the main thing. We've got this machine that we can't use.
But you said you have no compost. On your website, it says we're out of compost. Sorry, come back later. So how can you need space?
How many bags
do
we sell this year?
But that's not my problem.
Zero. It is your problem. You know what you said the last time?
That wasn't my problem.
When we first gave you the extension, you were like, yeah, you know, the city of Kingston can't do this generally because you guys want to bag compost. You made a remark to that effect at the very first meeting that you came to. And, Steve, we still haven't bagged. How many bags of compost do we sell?
But, yeah, I switched to single stream back in April of last year.
You should have never went to it. Single stream ruined the entire recycling industry.
But everyone else in Ulster County is doing it but me.
Everybody, you know why? To save money, not to recycle. They're doing it to save money.
So then
they took 15 trucks off the road.
But then why am I the one sitting here having these issues when everyone else... isn't.
You can't, Steve, I said it before and I'll say it again, you can't unscramble an egg. You can't put good fiber into a collection bin where everything is dripping on it and breaking on it and glass mixed with it and then pull it out and make it good. There's not a mechanism out there that can make that fiber good again.
And so we switched. We're the only municipal hauler in Ulster County to actually switch back to dual stream. Everyone else...
Oh, no, that's not true. No, that's not true either, Steve. That's not true either. There are haulers out there that now switched over their commercial end of to dual stream. And I want to say this to you right now. They're down in New York City, down Long Island, over across the river, a lot of all these towns switched back over to dual stream. All of them. I know, because I'm getting it on my nerve.
We're the only ones in Ulster County, but yet we are still the ones having to deal with, you know, we're getting blamed for you not being
able
to compost.
You're not getting blamed for anything. We're getting blamed for having a slush fund. We're getting blamed for not putting into our, we spent $500,000 on our composting, right? A true recycling.
So why did my
tipping, not eventual waste.
Why did the City of Kingston's tipping fee go from $73 a ton?
Everybody's tipping fee went down.
To 100, no. Because county waste and waste management were already up at like 90 something.
That's got nothing. That's before flow control.
I'm saying before flow control. So how did we? If your costs have pretty much stayed the same for Seneca Meadows and shipping.
It did.
But we pay for the shipping costs.
It did.
We pay for the shipping costs with the fuel surcharge. And so the point is that we have been paying our share more than even the private haulers, because not only did we pay the, the net benefit service fee as residents of the communities. Once flow control happened, it moved from being part of our taxes, that $2 million, to being part of, the overall, cost to dispose of trash. But at that point, that de-incentivized recycling. And so then you were very happy when all of these other recycling, these companies took their recycling elsewhere, because then the agency didn't have to deal with it. And now that I'm still your last, what you would consider co-mingled, recycling, outfit, like, I'm being pushed out, because there is no way for me to go to my residents and say to them, I'm sorry, we just went ahead and made you go to dual stream. Our recycling rates are still pretty terrible, even though we're the only community in Ulster County that actually has, recycling education that happens. On a municipal level, but yet we're still pretty bad. And now we're going to say, not only do you have to make sure that you do this dual stream separation, but you have to make sure that you don't put your Amazon box with your cereal
box. It's not an Amazon box, Steve. It's boxes.
Well,
there is commercial mixed in with it. We saw it. And it's not even about that. It's 53% cardboard.
Yeah.
And listen, that's revenue we are losing. Okay, so finally, when cardboard goes up, and by the way, everything's tanking again, just so you know. Okay, so things have never been good. They've been okay times.
If we think that recycling is going to continue to go downhill, right? From just the, if we care about the environment and we care about recycling,
we've never turned nobody away either.
All
by the
of
way.
These recycling costs should then get put into the tipping fee. So it's.
How do you think the $400,000 got paid? It came from the tipping fee.
No, but you're not paying for recycling out of the tipping fee.
Tim?
Well, then put
it
all.
Subsidizing the MRF for years.
Then we should continue to subsidize it then. And we should buy the,
how is,
buy the sorter.
Why should everybody across the scale pay? Because Kingston City doesn't want to. You want to be in the collection business and do it right.
That's probably illegal to have one to allow another community to. We pay your bill, basically.
No, you would allow Ulster County to take advantage of this. This could potentially draw some of your recycling back in.
Let me ask you this. Did Kingston City ever consider subbing out the recycling? So, like, and a lot of places do it, right? So $5 a house, right? Go out to bid and see if you can get a hauler that will pick up. Kugel's does it down in Pennsylvania. I know that. There's a lot of haulers that do it. They go out and they sub the recycling, so a third party picks it. Have you guys ever considered that?
That's what you want us to do. You want us to
privatize
our
recycling.
You guys want to do. You want to get rid of the recycling business here. I can totally understand that.
No, we want
you. You're moving that direction.
Steve, that's another untruth. That's not true.
But
Steve,
who are you going to have left if I can't?
We are going to have everybody who wants to do it right.
But
because that's what the markets demand.
But you have
it's grade dependent, Steve. You're not getting it.
Let me ask you a question. What about glass? Now, all the towns separate glass, but we don't make the City of Kingston do it. Why does the City of Kingston not do glass?
Why, Steve?
It's because currently in Ulster County recycling law that glass is part of mixed recyclables. It
doesn't say to mix it with the plastic and the tin. It doesn't say that in the law, Steve.
But that's the thing, is you guys create these rules.
No, that's what we did. Listen, we took something that was fixed and we broke it by allowing everybody to mix everything together. We're going back and saying, hey, we made a mistake. It can't be done this way. And Westchester County, million, not 24,000, million, right? They realized it a long time ago. They just redid their MRF and they kept it dual stream, separating everything. You know how much damage your glass is doing to our line? We're going to pay for that. You know how much? An infeed belt's going to cost us about $70,000 to $100,000, and it's all the damage is done by glass, Steve. So we'll pay that, by the way. So we're not trying to chase anything out, and we're not trying to chase you out. We just want it done right because the markets demand it. Don't you get that? The markets demand it, not us.
But it's not. It can't be the markets demanding it if everyone else in
the I just read something to you. Who's a guy who's in the collection business? He has his own MRF. He has his own transfer station. Not only him, but other places that have MRFs that just do fiber. Steve, we're not making this stuff up.
So then, how is Waste Management and County Waste still doing single streams?
Waste Management, County Waste, they're charging. Waste Management's sending it to a competitor. Generally, they never do that. And County Waste is charging $120 a ton. I'll tell you what. We'll charge $120 a ton. We'll take your cardboard. And you mix them with your... How about that? That's what they're doing. Want apples to apples? We'll do apples to apples. But that's what they're doing, Steve. Don't make it sound like they got these great MRFs and everybody's recycling for free. They're not.
The point, though, is that if you... Fred, you live in the...
Why don't you sub out your recycling?
If you've got County Waste or Waste Management picking up at your house, your bill is still probably only $35 to $40 a month.
Who?
For Waste Management County.
No, you know what we got?
We're residential. Residential.
I got them at my house.
Yes.
So we got a flow. We got a flow fee that keeps going up. Tim and I laugh about it all the time because the tipping fee didn't go up for years, and the flow fee goes up. Yeah. And we also have a recycling sustainability cost in our bill.
Yeah.
$33 this month.
Yeah. And I think that's a fee that they're charging to be able to invest back into their equipment.
Where's the recycling going, Steve? I know where it's going.
It's going to a landfill.
It's going to the garbage.
Yeah, it's going to a landfill.
Well, then you don't care. Change your rules then.
Steve, our rules, you want us to change our rules for something that's going to make it acceptable to you. This is not about you or the city of Kingston.
What's it about then if I'm your last customer?
You're not my last customer. We do more than your 100 tons a month.
No, in terms of residential drop-off.
How about this? You got a residential drop-off center? Start utilizing it for your cardboard. Tell people to start going there for your glass and cardboard. How about that? That's an option. Listen, Steve, here's what I say to you, right? Sometimes, right, if you want to change, you have to change the way you look at things. And you're refusing to do that.
I've got 24,000 people that I'm trying to look out for, and they're looking to me to say that they are the only residents in Ulster County that are not being treated fairly.
Steve, do they want to recycle? Do they want to make a new product? Do they want things to go to a landfill? These are the answers you have to come up with. Okay? That's what you need to... I think we have education outreach, right? That's what you need to go back and explain. This is market-driven. Always has been. There's nothing new here.
But I can't explain that because that is not...
Explain how County Waste is charging $125 a ton.
That's not the environmental ethic.
Like, explain how County Waste is charging $125 a ton, but you guys aren't.
It's all money. The whole thing is money. And yes, you're right, Charlie. They do charge more. But, you know, there's some things that maybe we could do. For example, we don't do anything about glass with the city of Kingston. Now, all the towns separate their glass. We have separate boxes. You know, that's a big item. And it costs us money to get rid of glass. Okay?
But
when recycling goes down, you know where all this goes? You know where all the recycling goes? To the landfill. We don't have any markets for it. That's the problem.
Put the markets aside. I think the key is the ethics of recycling, so that we're not putting stuff into the landfill. So how do we come to a win-win? I mean, I'm for source separation. When I worked for the New York City Department of Sanitation, we did source separation. We implemented it.
If you guys can show me a model that works, no one else in Ulster County does source separation. No one in New York City does source separation. No one in New York State does source separation and have...
Why can't we be the first?
Because we have no money.
So how do
have people do it?
Steve, a lot of places aren't collecting their own trash anymore either. You guys still are.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I don't believe in privatization.
I'm just telling you what we're just talking about.
Because it costs you more money in the long run.
It costs more money. Yep. You don't get the service delivery that you really need.
I'm just merely pointing out
that you have sanitation is because of public health. And so,
and because I haven't privatized, I think that my residents are then getting harmed in these types of decisions. Because I could easily privatize, and I wouldn't have then had to deal with this whole single stream thing, because I could have just hired County Waste, and they would have come in. we would have continued on with single stream, my residents still would have been happy, no one would have had any issues with this transition, no one would have cared anymore, right? And who, they don't really...
And it would have cost you twice as much, though.
But can I make a reasonable suggestion?
Necessarily.
Steve, can I make a reasonable suggestion, really, honestly? I think, so, listen, I think, you know, the best, so when we talk about cost, we talk about, you know, private collection and all this other stuff, we talk about what county waste does, we talk about waste management, who goes to their competitor, right? A lot of stuff ending up in the trash. Can I make a reasonable suggestion? Why don't you just see the way that things go? Because if there's no cost to us, there's not going to be any cost to you. The bottom line is this, right? We can't afford to keep paying $17,000 a month just for Kingston City. So why don't we just see what the markets do? If there's no cost to us, there's not going to be any. And listen, we're not out to make a profit off of you. Honest to God, Steve. And listen, I want to say this to you, right? Nobody cares more about recycling. And I say this because it's me and I know myself. Nobody cares more about recycling than I do. I really, really do. I don't think we do enough, and not the agency. I'm not speaking about the agency. I'm speaking about every single person out there. I don't think we do enough. And I got to tell you, every single day I'm frustrated. And I want to tell you this too, right? I work really, really hard to get a zero fee for all these guys at these markets. Really, really hard. I'm working until sometimes 8:30, a lot of times, till 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. Okay? Do I expect any appreciation? No, I don't. It's my job. I want to say this to you, Steve. Just work with us. See what you can do as far as diverting as much cardboard away from the mixed news. Cooperation goes a long ways. We will work with you 100%. I swear to God we will. Just see what happens. But don't look at this resolution and say, hey, you know what? This is the end to all. It's not the end to all. If there's no charge, there's not going to be any charge to you. And any charge is going to be very minimal. So I want to say that to you. So before you're worried about all these changes and all these costs and extra totas and stuff, let's just see what happens. Let's tally it up. Let's revisit it in 3 months. 4 months and see what happens, Steve. Because I think we're getting a little bit carried away. I honestly think we do.
So,
I read to you what the buyers say.
In Paris, for glass, there are every couple of blocks, there's a big bin that has, you know, brown glass, green glass, blue glass, clear glass. And that gets thrown in and can get collected. Could we do something like that? Even in Havana, they have something similar to that. Yeah, so
I would encourage you to talk to your neighbors, walk down Franklin Street, and ask some of the neighbors, you know, how they expect, what services they expect the city to provide.
No, I understand.
You know, if we get yelled at if we don't have, like, the stuff picked up by a certain time during the day, we get calls. You know, we don't have a residential population that feels as though city services should be taken away from them.
And I agree, especially when it comes to municipal solid waste,
yep,
because of vectors, etc.
One of the things that I think is difficult about this whole situation is that the city of Kingston just undertook a major change that they felt was forced on them by the market, but felt as though still that we were the only ones in the whole county that had to change from single stream to dual stream, and now this is just like the final nail in the coffin of us being able to run a somewhat cost-efficient, you know, program. And, you know, we have tried to get, you know, as much cardboard off of our commercial street, you know, into you, mm-hmm, so that you can at least make a little bit more revenue on that. But to be able to then have this resolution get floated that basically is going to penalize my residents because these costs are going to get added on. Because not only is it just the cost that I have to pay you, is that then, you know, they shouldn't be putting then the cardboard in the bin, and then that's just one more thing that my code enforcer has to go to these folks and be like, you know, you can't put the cardboard in that bin anymore, and we're just going to continue to target people who don't understand our recycling rules, bilingual people, you know, folks that have, you know, lower incomes, and it's just not fair, and I just feel as though, you know, we should really just reconsider this resolution, and I think that if these costs continue to, you know, rise, or the glass continues to break your MRF, like, I really think that there needs to be a new holistic discussion, because if county waste and waste management decide sometime that single stream doesn't work for them, and they go back to dual stream, like they were, they're going to start bringing you that material again. And so but they're going to then bring you glass, plastic,
separated,
and cans all in one bin, and then they're going to bring you the same thing I'm bringing you, which is paper, newspaper, and cardboard all in one bin.
Steve, that's not true. They're not allowed to do that. You guys are the only ones doing it,
Steve. They would do
that. These are all untruths.
They would do that. When they walk in here with 50,000 customers and say to you, I'm switching to dual stream. We want to bring this material to you. I know for a fact that you would not tell County Waste or Waste Management with your 100,000 plus customers that we're not going to either accept glass with the cans and bottles or that we're not going to accept
residential Steve, cardboard. We did. Tim Rose, did we not tell County? We did. You're wrong, Steve.
But
you don't know that for a fact. You're wrong. We already did.
When did you? They've been
single stream. We already did. Listen, we already did. Listen, they don't want to go all the way up to Albany from New Paltz when they got that bid from New Paltz and stuff, or down in Orange County and stuff. Steve, you're 100% wrong on it. You said, I know for a fact. You're 100% wrong on that. Here's the fact. We did.
Yeah.
We told them they can't. But if they want to bring it to us separated, they can, Steve, because that's what we do. We're in the recycling business, and we do everything we can to find markets at a plus and not something that's costing us, not a negative.
The point is
that
they shouldn't have to leave.
Everything you're saying, Steve, 95% of everything you said so far at this meeting is wrong.
But we just disagree, Charlie.
I deal with this every day. You don't.
Yeah, but I do think that, you know, if...
Why does Waste Management go to its competitor?
Because they can't.
They never do.
Because they can't be serviced by you.
Waste Management will never go to their competitors. Why do they do it with recycling?
Yeah. If there was flow control on recycling in Ulster County, I can assure you that the entire financial operations and the way the MRF runs would be completely different. Because you would have so many more stakeholders at the table. You would have these big businesses that you would want to work with and cater to. And if we would have done this, flow control back in 2012 or 2011, you know, when this switch happened with trash, the MRF would look completely different. You know, you would either have a really new, great working.
Nobody's going to spend $1 million when there's no market.
What would you have done with all of this then?
All what?
Steve, the legislature wouldn't do it.
No, but I
was chairman. I went all through it. I'm the guy that brought Mike Cahill back here for flow control. The legislature would not pass recycling.
But why?
Well.
Because people have the free right to go wherever they want. That's why.
But if they did.
The same thing with Rockland County's got flow control on yard waste. They won't give it to us here.
Yeah.
So, because people have the free right to go wherever they want to go.
But it's caused a disinvestment.
Steve, the bottom line is this. I said to you earlier, I said, Steve, why don't we just revisit this 3-4 months from now and see what the costs are to you? Because it's really market driven. Okay? It's really got nothing to do with us. All we're trying to do, you are the only person, why should you be allowed to use our MRF and not separate your cardboard from your mixed news when everybody else has to? Why should you be allowed to do that? Because you've got 24,000 people?
No.
It's more of a reason why you should.
It's because those are the rules that you set out.
No, these aren't we don't set the rules, the market does.
No,
it's their ballpark.
We can beat this to death.
And after New York state law...
Why don't you get Ed Newman?
Separation and segregation of recyclable or reusable materials. One, that the legislature hereby finds that it is in the public interest in order to further the purposes of the state policy on solid waste management articulated in Section 27.0106 of the Environmental Conservation Law for a municipality to adopt a local law or ordinance to require the source separation and segregation of recyclable or...
Segregation.
Or
separation.
Reusable materials from solid waste.
And I would encourage you to read local law number 4 mm-hmm. of Ulster County that was adopted in 2010, and it will actually talk about this, and it does specifically state that it is up to the agency to decide how they would like to collect.
And we did.
Yes, we're telling you. No, but you can't just tell me, and this is
it says it in the law. It says in the law, cardboard has to be free of any other fiber.
Just the rate, Steve.
Okay.
No, that law has been complied with.
No.
Our legal teams
disagree.
Well,
and
of course,
we believe that you guys should have had a public hearing.
We did, since we gave you extensions upon extensions.
No, a public hearing.
May of 2018.
And a public law creation process, which is, you should read as a board, I think that you guys should know. That I don't believe
we changed the rate. We didn't change a lot.
There was no rate for this.
Before. He's talking about the hard mix.
Yeah,
he's talking about the hard mix.
Yeah, but that, again, you guys allowed the city of Kingston by issuing a rule and regulation to be able to do this 10 years ago. And, you know,
we didn't do that.
Yes, you did. I have the letter.
You have the letter, but there's no contract, Steve.
But it doesn't need to be a contract.
Okay,
you guys issued a rule about how this could be collected, and now you changed the rule, and You know, there really needs to be more public comment and dialogue.
Public comment, Steve, this has gone over a year that we've been talking about with you and Ed about this.
No, it hasn't.
Yes, it has.
This is
my
first conversation.
May 30th of 2018, Steve. That's when this all started. And you know when you went to the Common Council for the toters? I don't know what.
November
of 2018, Fred?
November.
Yeah.
And then we did that.
Because you vowed, Steve, that you were still going to stay single stream. And you know what? You were willing to pay $100 a ton for single stream if it was. So I don't understand it. You can't pay $15 a ton if it is, but you can pay $100 for single
stream. Listen, I think you want to send Ed Norman out, meet with Charlie.
They did that already six months ago. Nothing happened.
Let's try it again.
We can't change the residential mix of my cardboard unless I tell the residents to take it out of their bins.
So that's what you have to do. You're basically saying either
I need to tell the residents to take it out of their bin,
there is
or you're just going to charge me for it.
Steve, you could go to
alternate pickups.
Yes.
1 week newsprint, 1 week cardboard.
Yes.
And the residents put the cardboard out on that particular day.
And you're still picking up commercials, Steve, whether you want to admit it or not. You are. We see it. I mean,
so,
Fred, do we not see it? Did we not see it?
Yeah.
If I understand, I bumped into Ed walking on my dog, and he said, I asked him, you know, when does commercial get picked up? And he said that there's a corridor that they go down on Tuesdays.
Yep.
But there's other,
yep.
Right? And so he tries to catch that also.
Yep. He does?
Yeah.
On Mondays, Thursdays, and or Wednesdays and Thursdays, we send out another separate truck now based on the letter that we got from the council asking us to get our commercial cardboard cleaner and more. And it's just...
Yeah. He actually thought that he could have do just an extra truck on Tuesdays and pick it all up.
So,
yeah.
I just think...
I don't know. Anyway, I think that we, you know, if we were all relatively smart people here and we all really want the same thing, that there has to be some solutions and not digging in our heels.
Right.
You know, and I agree that I used to take people out to Fresh Kills to show them where their friggin' garbage went. And at that point, our New York City residents made 7 pounds of garbage for every man, woman, and child and dog.
I just got this.
You know,
this
it's gone down now.
And
I'm actually a zero waste person.
The last thing I want to say about this is I don't think legally... If
that's
the other 19 towns found out what we're
buyer.
Doing with you, Steve, that's a legal problem. We can't supplement your expenses at their, you know.
Yeah.
It's
what
your,
if they started
it's your,
sending
it's your,
that's paper bag
it's your expense, right? So the Ulster County Research Recovery
it's
Agency.
Your expense. You're giving us something that is costing us money.
But all recycling is now costing you money.
That's not true. Cardboard's not costing us money.
Tim just told me the MRF loses
$400,000. That's right, it does.
And who pays for that?
Yeah. Listen, because natural's down, tin's down, the metal's down, the junkyard, all the junkyards closed down. I mean, it's not just, listen, it did cost us, but cardboard is not costing us. That's what this issue is about. 53% of your mix is cardboard. So that means out of 100 tons, right, 50 tons of that is cardboard that can go to a market and be baled. But now it's worthless, useless.
We're going over the same thing.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, so.
Anyway,
okay. So we're not getting any relief from the board at this point. And,
I've been willing to sit and spitball with you.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. All right, moving on. I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes as submitted.
There's something in there that I just want to talk a minute about. If you go to the last page 10, and it had to do with my comments about host community benefits in the towns that of lower income would welcome the income from a state-of-the-art landfill. And Joanne, I think you mentioned environmental hazards. You referred to a landfill as an environmental hazard. When was the last time, and I'm asking, you know, on a friendly basis here, when was the last time you were to a state-of-the-art
landfill? I regularly go to state-of-the-art landfills, and I actually helped build some of them.
Well,
but most people do not understand
that's
landfills.
The problem, exactly. Educating
and so,
the public.
And I agree, I believe, but I think that the way that you worded this, Charlie, was made it sound as if we were going to find not the best place for a landfill, but a place that might need the funds.
Benefit from the funds?
No, we are looking for the best place to place a landfill,
and
that's
so
why we're really asking Catherine to, you know, give her expertise into us as we go around
usually the best place might not be in in our neighborhood.
Right.
It might be in my backyard.
Right.
Right? And so we also have to deal with the NIMBY issue. And that happens all over the place for all types of public uses.
I think it's a matter of educating the public, and I think there's going to be an effort to do that very shortly.
But I'm not retracting my statement.
No, I didn't ask you to retract it, but I just wanted to qualify it, you know.
Okay.
That's it.
Sorry, I can dig in my heels too.
No, I don't think there was anything wrong with the statement.
No. So, but I understand that, but I would actually qualify and say wherever we look at a landfill, we find the best place for.
No question about that. However, some of the places out there might be more willing to if they see the size of the income.
So Dutchess County had a choice at one point between a good place out in Millbrook or a place out on the outskirts of Red Hook, right, to place a landfill. Do you know where they wanted? They decided to place it. They wanted to place it in the poorer community.
Well, if that was the only reason, then that's wrong.
And if you do transportation, I mean, because if you're going to place a landfill, you're going to have to look at transportation studies.
Right.
Also,
we know that.
Okay.
Joanne, consider this: the town of Waterloo, which is the town that benefits from our host community benefits now, makes somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 million a year on the waste that we send there.
And maybe we should tell this to the mayor.
they make $5 million on all of it.
Yeah.
On all, because
no,
it's sited
right
within their town.
So it's becoming a very wealthy town because of a landfill,
wow,
state-of-the-art landfill.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes.
And I'll second
Okay,
it.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? I'll call for a vote.
And anytime you want to arm wrestle, I'm up.
Aye.
All right. Let's do a roll call. Council.
No.
Roll call. Fred Wagnola.
Yes.
Catherine Weinkopner.
Yes.
Charles Landy.
Yes.
Lisa Mitten is not here. Joanne Myers.
Yes.
Okay. Motion carried unanimously. All right. Communications. Next regular board meeting is scheduled for June the 29th. At 12 o'clock, if the governor releases the what phase we're in at that point in time and so forth.
Chairman?
Yes?
I think that's a typo. I think it's supposed to be the 22nd. Isn't the 22nd the 4th? Does anybody have a...
Hang on.
Does anybody have a calendar? Maybe I'm wrong.
1, 2, 3. The 22nd is the 4th. But I think that it might be if we're having this meeting on the 1st, and if we do the 29th,
okay, you want to stick with that then?
I mean, that would...
Yeah, let's do the 29th.
Yeah, I think that's a good
fifth,
idea.
That's the fifth...
Yeah.
Yeah, fifth
and
Friday.
Because this one is actually supposed to be May's.
Right.
Okay.
Let's do the 29th. Let's leave it to 29th.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay. Do you have any communications, Executive Director?
No, sir.
Okay. All right, general reports.
Are we going at 12 o'clock, right?
Yes, going back to 12 o'clock. All right, general reports, MSW, tonnage.
Yes, targeted for April, we targeted 11, roughly 11.5. We bought in 10.1, so we were down by almost 1,400. If you look at the numbers down below, that's what you really want to be concerned with, is the year-to-date, and right now we're 1589 to the good.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so we were hired in January and February, and, you know, we lost because of the COVID in April. We lost a lot of the businesses.
I thought our tonnage would be up with everyone cleaning their basements and cleaning attics and so forth.
So with the COVID-19 going on, so stuck in the house, we lost a lot of tonnage due to the businesses being down. Our traffic has gone up quite a bit. We've been a lot more small loads. But the overall tonnage in April was down.
All right, I thought I had that on Do Not Disturb.
Because of the COVID.
Okay.
We'll see what happens from here.
Okay, recycling tonnage report.
Okay, recycling tonnage. All right, let's look at April of last year. We did 95.
It's a very sturdy
for commingle. This year we're up to 137. Glass last year we were at 34. This year we're up to 53. The Knicks News last year we were at 194. We're down to 82. Kingston Single Stream doesn't matter. Let's go over to OCC. The OCC, the cardboard was at 190, almost 194 last year, and this year we're at 188, so that's pretty much a wash.
The food waste is down because all the restaurants are closed.
Restaurants are closed, also the schools. So.
Yeah, the schools.
All right. Okay.
Recycling commodity, recycling market. Again, if you look at the top, you'll see who we contacted and who gave us what prices for which. On the top half of the page, the bottom half of the page, you'll see who we sold what to for what price. I think this is pretty.
Is that a better price, Charlie? Is that a better price on iron?
No, actually, it's not.
No?
No, everything's down, especially if you take a look at the 10. The gross 10, that's way down. So okay. Normally, gross, you know, the 10 is generally 140 to 160 a gross ton. If you were to look at last month's report, you've seen it would have reflected about 120, I believe, somewhere around there. 39 is a major drop.
Wow.
So, and the same thing, you know, also the color. So you look at the HDP colored, right? In these times, right, normal, around 14 cents. In reasonable times, 25 cents, it's down to 2 cents. So when you look at that, that's horrible. And your peak was always flat, 14, 15 cents. It's down to 1 cent. So those are really, really bad numbers. Yeah. So I just want to, so when we talk about our MRF is still open, we still take it, right? And we live through the bad times as we do the reasonable times. Nothing's ever great in the recycling world.
I thought you said that before.
It's not.
Okay, leachate.
Don't we have to approve?
I'm sorry. We have to approve the thing. I'll entertain a motion for the market.
So moved.
I'll second.
Motion made, Charlie. Seconded by Joanne. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carried unanimously.
Okay, leachate. Ulster last year, we did 252,000. This year we did 300,000 for a little uptick. New Paltz last year we did 119, and this is a larger, much larger, up to 259. Yeah, this is
pretty forward. Well, that rain.
Yeah, this is all dependent on the rain.
Yeah.
So that's nothing we can control. All right.
Okay. Okay, recycling report, Angelina.
For the month of May, our social media and print media announcements promoted Compost Awareness Week, which is an international education initiative by the United States Composting Council Research and Education Foundation, celebrating 25 years this year. Melinda and I provided you with a copy from our radio ad campaign, a copy of the print ad in the Daily Freeman, and we've also included our social media campaign in your board packet, so you can see a sample of some of the messaging that we developed around International Compost Awareness Week. The really exciting thing for the agency is that we have sold out of compost as of May 27th, I believe, or May 28th, 2010 tons year-to-date of compost that's sold. If you look at the same period of time last year, we had only sold 812 tons of compost. So a great milestone for the agency, and I believe last year it was around the 4th of July that we sold out of compost. So that's really excellent. Roland and I hosted 3 webinars celebrating Compost Awareness Week, and all 3 of those classes are recorded and available on the agency's new YouTube channel at UCRRA. We've also officially launched our new website, and I hope that you've had the opportunity to take a look at some of the new content that we have added to our website and other resources, including our recyclopedia, which has over 100 items that are hard to recycle and how to get rid of them, a new events page where we can promote happenings in the community and new educational content such as blogs, and all of the information there is organized by generator, so you can see recycling resources if you're a resident, or you can look for recycling resources if you're a business, or if you're a school, if you're a landlord. So we put a lot of work into the website, and we are extremely proud of that. Other new media is in development. We're working on developing a new print flyer that will be available in Spanish. I'd also like to point out that our entire website now translates into Spanish by the click of a button, so we're really excited about that. Melinda and I are working on developing a business recycling guidebook, which also includes strategies for zero waste and waste reduction. We have new Recycling Right posters in development, as well as retractable banners that we can use during our outreach events when we're hosting tours and display in the office. Under reports, you'll see that Melinda and I have submitted a proposal for the New York State Pollution Prevention Institute Community Grant Program. We're requesting $18,000 to launch a zero-waste seminar project next year during the month of July to celebrate Plastic Free July. I'll also note that the 2019 annual recycling report summary was completed recently and previously sent to the board. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have regarding any of that content.
Did you do the grants?
No, I did not.
No, Brennan does those.
Brennan did these? No.
We've been adding with the board packets for the past
four
or 5 months. Or whatever.
Yeah, good job. Okay, any questions for Angelina?
No, thank you.
All right. Treasurer, money bags, come up here. You ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Slushy. Don't yell at me when I get to the slushy part, all right? For the month of April, we did 7,512 tons of MSW, 2,621 tons of C&D. We were approximately down 1,000 tons each on the MSW and C&D for the prior year. For reasons we obviously know, but there also was situations like almost 300 tons from last year related to the Hudson Valley Mall demolition job, and that's, you know, those are isolated situations that aren't going to happen every year. Item of note, miscellaneous revenues, the total is $36,699, and $29,412 of that relates to our dividend from workers' comp for the 2018-2019 policy year, and that represented a 40% premium reimbursement. Then on the expense side, administration expenses, $36,879. Almost half of that related to engineering costs, which I have broken out by engineers below. Total operating expenses, $1,037,455. Net operating revenues, positive, $213,551. The capital outlay for the month, $477,893. We installed the new fencing along the rail trail. $30,041. We got our new loader for $295,912. And a new roller as well for $151,500, giving us a deficit fund balance of $264,342. We are in the hole for the year of $2.2 million. Any questions?
Do we get a dividend check from our medical insurance too?
No.
No? Even if the loss ratio is down, we still don't get it down. Okay.
No.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to accept the treasurer's report. Made by Charles, seconded by Joanne. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carried unanimously. Okay.
All right. The MRF cost analysis for April. We know tipping fee revenue. Wholesale recyclables is only $9,190, which I'll speak to towards the end here. MRF MSW, $1,591, and glass disposal cost, $2,937. So our net loss, or net revenue for the month is $4,662. Total MRF personnel expenses for the month, $34,207. Total operating expenses, $7,328. Total personnel operating, $41,535 for a net loss of $36,873. The recycle, you see the recyclable tons sold are very low, only 299 tons. We did have the baler down for a little bit of time during April, and you'll actually see when I do the May report that we will have sold a lot more, especially cardboard. So that will kind of balance out with one another. Year-to-date, we have a net loss of $134,904 at our recycling facility.
How does it, over the over a year, look? Are we going to, do we have, like, ebbs and flows?
No,
it's what it is
right now.
Okay.
Okay,
just...
Yeah.
Just hope.
Okay, Tim, I just want to just comment, just so the board knows that due to that problem at the MRF that we talked, that you just spoke about, we did order a cylinder as a result of that.
Yeah.
So the cylinder, I know Steve says we don't put no money into the MRF, but it was a $50,000 cylinder that we had to order eventually.
Yeah.
So that's our second cylinder, by the way, since 2002 for that marathon.
We've made several repairs over the past 6 months.
Yeah, you know, to be quite honest with you, for the past 3 years probably, we kept repairing it to keep it going. But we didn't really want to put that cost out there, that $50,000, but we had to really fight the bullet at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know that if you go and look at last month's treasurer's report, there was a no cylinder line item. I mean, because it was more than just welding the cylinder. So it was like $8,000 or so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's just time.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, resolutions. First one, resolution 2504, authorizing and approving the bid for scale replacement and drainage improvements. You want to address that, the executive director?
Sure, I can address that. Or Shirley, do you want to address it?
Well, first off, I'd like to point out that we have Bob and Paul here. I like Paul a lot better, by the way. Sorry, Bob. So we've got Bob and Paul here, and also a representative from Rice Lake Scale. In 2012, we put a Rice Lake Scale down at New Paltz. It's been very wonderful for us. We've had one time it was down. It was a load cell, and Rice Lake actually warranted that load cell for us. So in 2012 or in 2020, the scale hasn't been down once. It's a great scale. I absolutely love it. When that load cell did go down, the scale did not go down. That's one of the features that the scale has, where you can actually just run off the existing load cell. So I got to tell you, it's a wonderful scale. We're very happy with it. And these guys are wonderful as far as getting there when we need help to fix these. Listen, we've had these scales for almost, 20 years, right? 20, 25 years, Bob? These ones that we have now, and these Toledo scales. And listen, it was a challenge, right, to get a lot of the parts that we needed to keep these things going. And these guys were wonderful keeping us going. So I just want to commend them for that. And if you guys have anything to add about this scale versus the scales we're currently using, feel free.
Well, your existing scales are well past their life expectancy. Average 20, 25 years on a scale. That outbound scale is older. That's probably
came 30, from the landfill.
30 plus.
We've retrofitted that one.
Right, we've retrofitted them. We've tried to do what we can to extend the life of them. It's getting harder to get parts for them. They just Mettler Toledo, which manufactured them, has moved off from that design. They just don't make the parts as readily available as they used to. Luckily, we have a lot of contacts around the country, and we're able to scrounge things up. And, you know, I'll call a guy in Michigan and say, you know, can you ship me some circuit boards or something? And we're very good at that, but those parts are getting harder to find. Mm-hmm. So the scales are, you know, it's time to upgrade. And
I think I remember talking to Bob. One of the things that was really a big concern of mine was as Bob started talking to me about the digitals, right? So how really difficult if the digitals were to go down, right? Bob,
do yeah, the digitals? The existing digital indicators are, I think the ones you have are two or three generations old already. In the scale industry, these products upgrade every, could be 5 years. You know, around that time frame, and as the old technology goes away, they don't produce those boards anymore, you can't get parts anymore. And like my brother said, we have a company in Michigan that's been able to repair some of this stuff over time. But they're, you know, I can't get parts for a lot of this stuff anymore. The load cell technology you have on the Toledos is out of date. They're getting tougher to come by, and those load cells are running, $1,600, $1,800 a piece, something like that.
Like 25.
Are they up to 25 now?
Yeah, you guys ain't cheap.
I don't write the bills, so I just fix them.
Yeah. So, you know, repair costs on those things, and this is what happened in New Paltz. We spent 3 years repairing that scale over there, and finally I came to Charlie, and I threw 3 years worth of bills on his desk. It was $36,000. Mm-hmm. In 3 years, just doing repair work. The new scale was what it was at that
Kathy
point.
Kathy remembers all those problems.
I still have my Race Lake hat.
We can get you
it's
a new
camouflage.
One.
No one can see me when I'm wearing it.
Yeah. So, you know, these are the
we're open for masks now.
It's nothing that any other facility doesn't go through, mm-hmm. and at some point these things just they have to go. When we retrofitted the outbound scale 7 years ago, we told Charlie 5 years. I'll give you five.
He wanted to get five out of it.
Yeah,
that's true.
And we thought we could, and we've gotten seven. So it's,
you know,
it's time, my friend.
Yep. Right.
And just so everybody does know, we had in our capital plans, we've had it, Tim DeGraff's not right, there he is. We had in our capital plan, I think it was like $10,000-$12,000 of conversion, right? And we actually held off on it. So you're looking at $36,000-$40,000 that we did not spend converting these scales. We said, you know what? Bob talked to me so many times about it. And I talked to Tim, and I talked to the other Tim Rose. And I was like, you know what? We're just throwing good money after bad. You know, and it's a five-year fix. That's all it is. And if the digitals go, that's a whole new problem. So we said, you know what? Tim DeGraff and I, for the last 5 years, have been talking about getting these scales, these Rice Lake scales, so it's about time. And I just want the board to know that we have all together, right, five scales, not four, the three here and the one at New Paltz. We do have the scale also down at Rochester, which I think is in extremely poor shape.
That one needs to go, too.
Yeah, so that's got nothing to do with us.
No.
I mean, it's our scale, it's our equipment.
Right.
But that's not something we're
They're all from the same era. All those scales were manufactured within 10 years of each other, and they've all reached the end of their life. It's even if you can upgrade and retrofit the electronic parts, the load cells, the steel decks themselves are rotten, and that's going to be a safety issue soon because some of them are getting ready to collapse. Mm-hmm. And if the scale collapses while the truck's on it, then you're in trouble.
One of the things we noticed, because Bob and I looked at it, and Paul, right, and we were like, okay, so we thought about going off the existing concrete, right, Bob? And then Bob's like, holy cow, you know, Joey, can you come over here for a minute? Yeah, I don't think this is going to work for us. And you know, the concrete started to crumble.
Yeah, all three foundations.
Yeah, the concrete's crumbling as well. Crumbling.
So that's when we said, okay, you know what, this is not just because we originally got numbers from you on what it would be just to replace the scales and keep the concrete, and we're like, that's all out the window.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
So, and the existing Toledo scales, Toledo's a great company, great scales, right? I know Jim, I've known Jim Gary for a long, long time, but they got what they call like a lollipop, right, where they're all connected
the
together.
The daisy chain together.
So, do you want to explain that, Paul? So what's the difference with
the they put a lot of extra electronics out in the weather. We use analog load cells. It just sends a voltage signal into the weight indicator, which is a conversion. So you see numbers on the indicator. Toledo's, all that happens out in the load cells. And the load cells are out under the scale in the weather, and they have plugs that plug into them, and then one plugs into the next, to the next, to the next. And to me, it's like taking your expensive stereo system outside by the pool, and it gets splashed on a few times, and it doesn't work anymore. And I think this is the problem with a lot of these digital-type scales, where we're doing the analog-to-digital conversion in a single box that is sealed against the weather. It has the ability to ghost the load cell. If the load cell stops working, Charlie can do it, or somebody in the scale has to do it. They can hit a button, and it emulates that load cell. It keeps the scale up and running until we can get there and fix it. We've only had to use it once on the retrofit, I think, since we put that in.
Yeah.
So that's working well. And once in New Paltz, but, you know.
I checked the weight on that one in New Paltz when I went over that load cell, and I was within 20 pounds for one division. So the system works fantastic.
Mm-hmm. When these scales go down at this point, you know, if I can get here within a couple hours, which we try and accommodate Charlie because he's our favorite customer. sometimes it can still take us all day just to troubleshoot what's wrong with these scales because of this peculiarities of the electronic system with the load cells and all. Not that we can't do it, but, you know, sometimes if I don't have the load cells, it could take me a week to get them.
Now, where are you guys located?
Pleasant Valley.
Oh.
We're local.
Okay.
All right.
Any board members have any questions?
Yeah, well, I want to make an observation. Out of six bidders, the range for the bids went from $479,950 for Gary Arrold, who got the bid, to $814,790. 59%, Gary Arrold's bid is 59% lower than the high bid. I think that there's something to be said for that.
And can I make all those contractors called me for the price of the scales. I gave them all exactly the same number.
We figured that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, I bid on the whole job myself as a GC, and I cut myself a deal. I still didn't do as well as Gary did.
You've seen Gary's work, right?
He worked in New Paltz.
Okay.
When we put that scale in.
Okay.
Yeah. He was the GC there. So.
Yeah, he does a fantastic job.
Yeah. And he already called me, you know, he said, I'm the low bidder, and, you know, we'll see how it goes.
That's some span of low bid.
Well, that high bid, I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, we don't
because
have
the other ones are fairly, yeah. The middle ones are all pretty close.
Yeah, the high bidder is here, too.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway.
All right.
That's all I got, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Okay. Roll call vote on this resolution.
Fred Wadnola.
Yes.
Catherine Beinkoffer.
Yes.
Charles Landy.
Yes.
Joanne Myers.
Yes.
Motion carried unanimously. Okay, resolution 2505. Resolution urging New York State Legislature to increase recycling and reduce municipal waste management costs by expanding the New York State Returnable Container Act.
Thank you.
This is a memorializing resolution. And it makes a lot of sense.
We should have done it back in 82 or 83 when we first did the returnable bottle container.
Right.
Thank you.
Just
saying. Joanne moves it.
I move it.
I second it. Any discussion?
Gentlemen.
Okay, roll call.
Fred Wadnola.
Yes.
Catherine Beinkoffer.
Yes.
Charles Landy.
Yes.
Joanne Myers.
Definitely.
Okay.
Before you move off this resolution, Chairman, can I just say one thing?
Sure.
Does the board want me, you know, this is asking the legislature to increase this. Does the board want me to send this, copy this resolution to every assembly person and senator that represents Ulster County?
I believe
yes.
we
should. Good idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
And just a copy to Andrew, too.
Okay. I'll copy the governor's office.
Okay.
I'll
Pat Ryan, too.
Okay, I'll copy it as well.
And maybe Mr. Mayor.
And Mayor too?
Good idea, yes. Just in case it catches him with his proverbial
hand. I have to say something,
down.
And I know it's out of turn now, but how you board members could sit there and let him say what he said after how he castigated you guys in public.
I know.
That's right.
It's unbelievable.
You should have wired that seat over there.
So what I'm going to do on this letter,
I thought Charlie held his end of the argument beautifully.
Yeah, he did.
But you had the facts. Clearly, you had the facts.
He was 95% wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, the issue is that his back is up against the wall.
Yeah.
And so he.
But to say that he wasn't contacted on it.
I know.
He still said that.
Well, we have it now. Right, and you have all the copies of...
But he's also very selective on the law, too. You know, mm-hmm. Listen, the law does say, right, the cardboard has to be free of all other fibers.
Yeah.
And he refused to hear that.
Yeah.
And,
no, I
and the other thing, Joanne, the Packers, they're in the garage all day Friday.
They are.
They only run 4 days a week.
Yeah, I know.
And the guys are all sitting in
there.
I know.
I've talked to Ed. I didn't want to throw Ed under the...
Right.
He's
under the Packer.
Yeah.
The mayor has
they're
some
slushy.
Other...
He's slushy.
The mayor has some other very serious problems. His sales tax revenue, because of what's happened with this lockdown, is way off, almost $100,000 to $150,000.
And so are the counties.
Huh?
Yeah, everybody's in
there. Everybody is. Yeah. Towns are too. Yeah.
Well, I mean, everybody. But they get a share.
Every kind of tax is down.
Yeah. Yeah. The city gets an 11% share of the county's sales tax.
Okay, resolution 2506, approving the final local solid waste management plan. You all have all received copies of it. Is there any discussion on it? I would so move it.
Second.
Mm-hmm. Second with Charlie.
And so this actually now goes to...
to the legislature.
And so has DEC signed off on it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I must have missed that.
If you look in your plan, it's
the letters
third or fourth
or, yeah.
page.
Oh, okay.
If you look at the 34th page, it has the approval.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Roll call.
Fred Waddell.
Yes.
Kevin Beinkoffner.
Yes.
Charles Landy.
Yes.
Joanne Myers.
Yes.
And just so everybody knows, before the meeting started, Fred and I were talking about how we want to do this. And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Fred, but what we're going to do is, I think the best procedure to go is, a letter should come from the chairman of this board with a copy of the plan, which I have hard copy in my office. Attach that to the chairman of the legislature, Dave Donaldson, and just inform you that this board has officially approved it, DEC has officially approved it, and we're looking for your endorsement.
We should send one to Pat Ryan, too.
Okay, you want a copy of him?
Yeah,
okay.
You copy
good
him
idea,
too?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. I did send them electronic copies this year, but he has that. But if you wanted to formalize it more,
yeah.
I can copy him on there. But the letter will come from you, right?
Yeah.
I think it's probably
because we have to get the resolution from the county.
Yeah.
Okay, resolution.
And that actually then gets it.
2507, authorizing transfer from the operating reserve to revenue account for equipment purchases. And this was for the purchase of the screen and the hydraulic stacker out there for a composting operation.
Oh, and does that mean that it's paid off?
Yeah.
Well, the part where this comes, just so you know, the reason why you have to do this resolution, it's in our enabling act or the indenture, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Bond indenture that if we transfer any money out of our operating reserve, it has to have a resolution. So that's why we have the resolution. Where does the number come from? As you had brought up at the last meeting about the possibility of not receiving grant funds. Andrew reached out for me to Amanda Laval from the county with regards to their $156,000 for the trauma screen left in their grant. And she said that she was assured by the DEC that they were in contract, they're going to get the money. So I replied back to her and said, well, okay, that's a maybe. Because you never know how things could change. And then the other portion of this was $167,475 for the remaining portion of the trauma screen and then the half the cost of the conveyor. And that would be DEC money, which Angie, correct me if I'm wrong, is the MWRC grant.
RR.
Okay. So that's how I calculated it with the idea of, hey, you know what, we plan on getting it. It's completely beneficial to us. It supports recycling. So from a financial standpoint, we are supporting recycling, if I could get that in the minutes.
You want to say it once more?
No, good. And we're using our operating reserve what it's for. Mm-hmm. If we don't get the actual flow from where we were expecting it, we use our operating reserves. And if the county and New York State pays us back, we just put it right back in the operating reserve. So we're really borrowing from ourselves is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And it helps with cash flow in the beginning of the year.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right, I would so move this resolution.
I second it.
Okay, second by Catherine. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Fred Waddell.
Yes.
Charles Landy.
Yes.
Catherine Beinkoffner.
Yes.
Joanne Myers.
Yes.
Motion carried unanimously.
That was sneaky to change
the
order.
Yeah, to change the order.
I did it from memory.
Oh, boy.
It looks like I'm moving up and you're moving down.
Okay.
Whatever.
Moving on to old business.
I'm closer to the bottom line.
We talked about it earlier at the beginning of the meeting. I think the canceling the pickup in July and doing the big one in October with the pandemic and everything is really the way to go. So I'm going to direct the executive director to contact Clean Harbors and cancel July and tell them to get ready for October.
Okay.
It's not only Clean Harbors, but the Sheriff's Department.
But Sheriff's Department and DEC. When I spoke to the guy from DEC this morning, he said he's not even sure when they're going to reopen.
Yeah.
You know, they're still close up tight.
Yeah, that's not a problem. I'll just send out the same letter I sent out for April. April, I went ahead and copied. I didn't even bother getting the board involved.
Give presents, right.
Okay. And does anyone have any other old business?
I just want to mention, back in March, the county exec's office asked me to be on daily conference calls. They're now 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday for the COVID. So, of course, I said yes, so I've been on those calls every day. I think it's March, I think it's May, it's two. So, in the last conference call yesterday, they talked about the phase two opening next week, which is on Tuesday. And some of the municipalities are going to start bringing back employees, which then we can start doing too, I think, you know. And there's certain parameters. We've got to make sure they have face masks available, that they have, you know, that there's hand cleaner available and things like that. There is a template, a safety plan template online for businesses. And then once you fill that out, you're supposed to affirm to the health department that you completed it online. I heard in the call the other day that municipalities don't have to affirm online, but I'm a little unclear on exactly if we have to fill out the plan or not. I think we do, but I did hear it clearly. It was said to all the supervisors that you don't have to affirm online. You're a municipality, you're exempt from that. But either way, I think even if we're not required to do the plan, I think I'm going
to
do it anyway.
Yeah.
It's just a template that I fill out online about what we're going to do in the office, you know, cleaning the light switches, and it's just a lot of basics.
Wiping off the door handles. And
wiping off.
You got to have your sanitizers available.
Right. You have to be able to provide masks to all the employees.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, they're supposed to, if you have breaks, they're supposed to have different break rooms or
right.
6 feet. Uh-huh. All that, the basic stuff I think everybody knows. But I'll formally fill it out. That way it's done. If anybody asks.
And then anybody can read it, too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So Tuesday is what I'm planning on doing. Tuesday is when the staff's going to come back. I'll send an email out to all the staff. I think they're all aware of it anyway, but I'll get that template done by the end of the week.
Okay, do we have any new business? Okay, the executive director asked for going into an
executive
session.
Yeah. So if you don't board doesn't mind, we can do that.
Nope, okay. Right ahead.
Hey, Angie. I thought Stephanie to my bag. I thought Stephanie was sitting on our dining room table. My cleaning. I just throwing it out because it happened. And then same with my spiriva thing, even though there's all this plastic on. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I just want to make sure I'm holding it correctly. I keep on thinking, oh, I should bring in an ass.
It's always trash.
Yeah.
And the medication drop off locations.
I think everybody is under their ass.
No, I know. I tried that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I usually am using my Sundays until it's like, doesn't have anything in there.
Everybody have a good day.
Thank you.
You too, Charlie.
Okay. Thank you for this.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Please make sure that everyone does get one. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, they're beautiful.
Nicely
done.
We'll see how vindictive the mayor is if he gets his voice.
No, I think he got the message. I think he got the message.
Actually, between us, Ed said that he has said to Julie, you know, all I need to do is run because it's literally the one route from uptown to downtown. And it's on Tuesday, which most restaurants are closed on Monday, so they put their stuff out on Saturday or Sunday.
Right.
Right? Which is wrong. You know, he could actually maybe flip. He talked about flipping a day. Or just, and then there are a whole bunch of delis, etc., that are off.
The thing Ed knows he can do it. Why?
Because
why
Ed,
he do it?
I don't know. I almost want to say it's Julie, because Julie is supposed to be the do all this environmental education. She's supposed to be the sustainability person, and she. Oh. I don't know. I'm not.
You think it's her?
I think it's her, and I think she has him.
But do, well, she's got something all around.
Let's see, this should be for Lisa.
No, I drove around, and I don't remember what day it was.
Because I have
one of the cardboard piled nice, neat.
Oh, you go through Uptown Kingston, all the places.
Yeah, perfect.